Canto 1, Chapter 15. The Pandavas retire. Sutta said, Arjuna, the friend of Krishna, who was emaciated because of his separation from Krishna, thus was subjected to the various forms of doubt and speculation of his older brother, the king. Because of his grief, his mouth and lotus heart had dried up, and his bodily lustre had vanished. Preoccupied with thoughts about the Lord, he was incapable of replying properly. The more he wiped the tears from his eyes and with great difficulty checked the force of his sadness not seeing him any more, the more he eagerly thought about him in his affection, and the more distressed he became. Remembering him as a well-wisher, benefactor, friend and charioteer, Arjuna, overwhelmed and heavily breathing, addressed his eldest brother the king. He said, O great king, Lord Hari, in the form of my friend, has left me. Now I am bereft of the amazing power that even astonished the gods. I lost him from whom, being separated but for a moment, all universes would appear unfavorable and void of all life, like they are all dead. By the strength of his mercy, I could vanquish the power of all the lusty princes during the selection of the bridegroom at King Drupada's palace, where I gained Drupadi's hand by piercing the fish target with my bow. With him at my side, I was able to defeat Indra and his godly associates, and could thus enable the god of fire to set ablaze his forest. With his support, we could realize our wonderfully built assembly house that was designed by Maya, where all the princes assembled to your honor, bringing presents collected from all directions. Under his influence, our younger brother Bhima, who has the strength of 1,000 elephants, managed to kill him, Jarasandha, whose feet were worshipped by the heads of many kings he wanted to sacrifice. It was he who saved the kings who by Jarasandha had been brought to his capital to be sacrificed to the Lord of the Ghosts. They all paid you tribute afterwards. He, leading to the great war, took the life of the husbands of the wives of the Kurus, whose hair was condemned to be loosened, because the cluster of your wife's hair had been loosened, that was beautifully dressed and blessed for the great ceremony. Being caught by the miscreants, she in tears fell down at the feet. He protected us when we ran into trouble, being endangered in the forest by the intrigue of our enemies associated with Durvasa Muni. The moment the sage arrived there to eat with his 10,000 disciples, he, by simply accepting the remnants of the food before they did, satisfied the three worlds, as also the Munis. He did that at the time they were bathing by giving them the thought that they had been fed already. Under his influence, I once could astonish the Lord with the trident, Shiva, and his wife, the daughter of the Himalaya, because of which he and other gods awarded me their weapons. That is how I, in this body, managed to obtain a half-elevated seat in the house of Indra. As a guest of that heaven, I could with both my arms, with the help of my bow Gandiva, offer protection to Indra and all the gods by killing the demon Nivataka Vajra. I, after all, O descendant of King Ajamida, was empowered by him, the Supreme Personality, whom I at present am bereft of. Because of his friendship alone, I, seated on the chariot, could cross the insurmountable ocean of the military strength of the Kauravas. Thanks to his friendship only, I could return with the enormous wealth of the enemy, the brilliance of all the jewels I by force took from their heads. It was he who, by the power of his glands, put an end to my mental agitation concerning the duration of life of all the fighters who, with the wealth of their chariots, were positioned on the battlefield, O great king. With the immensity of a great royal personalities like Bhishma, Karna, Drona, and Shalya, he was the one driving me forward from their ranks. Under his protection, the very powerful invincible weapons wielded by Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Purisharava, King Susharma, Shalya, King Jayadratha, Balika, etc. could not touch me, just like it was when Prahlada was compromised by the demons. Thinking wrongly about my lord as being my chariot driver, about him whose feet are served by the intelligent souls for the sake of salvation, the hostile charioteers, by his mercy, did not take notice and did not attack me when I alighted for my thirsty horses. O King, remembering how he, with a smiling face, made jokes, was frank with me and addressed me with son of Rita, Arjuna my friend, and son of the Kura dynasty and such, my soul is overwhelmed by these heartfelt words of Madhava. When we were sleeping, sitting, walking and dining together and truthfully confronted each other and so on, I took him, erroneously, for a friend equal to me. Despite regarding him lower in my misconduct, he tolerated me, glorious in his greatness, the way a friend accepts a friend, or a father accepts his child. O Emperor, without the Supreme Personality, my dear most friend and well-wisher, my heart and soul are vacant. Recently, I, just like a weak woman, was defeated by infidel cowherds while I was protecting Krishna's wives. Having the same bow, arrows, chariot and horses, I am the same Arjuna and chariot fighter to whom all the kings offered their respects. But with him absent, all of this in a single moment has become as useless as butter offered to ashes, as money obtained by magic, or as seeds sown on barren land. O King, in reply to your question about our friends and relatives in Dwaraka, I can tell you that they lost their minds being cursed by the Brahmins. Being drunk with rice wine, they killed one another with sticks, not even recognizing each other in that intoxicated state. Only four or five of them remained. In general, it is the program of the Supreme Personality, our Lord, that sometimes the living beings kill one another and at other times protect each other. Like in the ocean, where the bigger creatures eat the smaller ones and the stronger devour the weaker, O King, the Omnipotent One, in one stroke, removed the burden of all the Yadus from the earth by having the stronger Yadu in a fight kill the weaker one, and the bigger Yadu kill the smaller one. Bearing in mind the words spoken by Govinda, I remember how attractive they are, and how they, imbued with importance and appropriate to time and circumstance, put an end to the pain in the heart. Sutta said, thus thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and what he had instructed in the intimacy of their deep friendship, Arjuna, with his mind freed from all material concerns, found his calm. Constantly remembering the feet of Vasudeva, Arjuna's devotion increased rapidly so that the endless ruminations ended. He again thought of the spiritual instructions the Supreme Lord gave in the midst of the battlefield. By thinking of his time and actions, he dispelled the darkness of his ignorance and became the master of his senses. Free from lamentation, by his spiritual capacity managing to cut with the doubts that were raised by the duality of being identified with the material world, he, due to the transcendence of being without a material form, was freed from the entanglement of birth and death. Yudhishthira, listening to the deliberations about the end of the Yadu dynasty and the disappearance of the Supreme Lord to his abode, undisturbed within, made up his mind to leave in favor of the way to heaven. Also Queen Kunti, who had overheard what Arjuna told about the end of the Yadus and the disappearance of the Lord, found, absorbed in the soul, released from her material existence, in pure devotion unto the Lord, who was now fully situated beyond the senses. By taking away from the world the burden constituted by the body of the Yadu dynasty, the unborn Lord, equal in his control, rejected both the thorn of the opposing military forces that was removed and the thorn of his own family he used for its removal. Just like with his Matsya incarnation and other incarnations, like a magician giving up one body in order to accept another, he relinquished the body by which he relieved the burden of the world. When Mukunda, the Lord of Liberation, the fortunate one so worthwhile to hear about, left this earth, from that day on Kali Yuga manifested itself in full, the age so inauspicious to all who in ignorance are not in control of their minds. When Yudhishthira grasped what was going on in his capital, state and home, as also in the self, observing how everything became worse in a vicious circle of avarice, falsehood, dishonesty, irreligion, violence and so on, he understood that it was time to leave and dressed himself accordingly. His grandson, Parikshit, who was properly trained and in every respect was as qualified as he was by the emperor for the occasion enthroned in the capital of Hastinapura as the master of all land bordered by the seas. At Mathura he made Vajra, the son of Aniruddha, king of Shurasena, after which he had a Prajapatya sacrifice performed in order to find the fire for attaining his goal in himself. Renouncing his belt, ornaments and all of that, he became uninterested, being detached in having broken with the endless bondage. He withdrew his speech into his mind and his other senses into his breath he withdrew in death, and in full resignation then united that with the body composed of the five elements. Having offered those five elements to the three qualities of nature, he united them in one combination, and that he offered in the thoughtful self. Next, he fixed that sum total in the soul, and that soul in the inexhaustible absolute self, Brahman. Accepting torn clothes and refusing solid food, he stopped with talking. He untied his hair and, not listening to anyone anymore as if he had become deaf, he thus began to look like a dumb madman and an irresponsible urchin. He headed for the north, just like all others following the path of his mindful forefathers, constantly in his heart thinking about the Supreme One in the beyond, without turning back from wherever he went. Like their friend, seeing that the age of Kali and its irreligion had overtaken the citizens on earth, all his brothers took the decision to follow him and left home. They had performed everything worthy of a saint and kept themselves, with the ultimate goal of the Supreme Soul in mind, steadfast to the lotus feet of the Lord of Vaikuntha. That is the destination of those who, purified by meditation, in their devotion found liberation in fixing their mind on the transcendental feet of the one Narayana. With their material contaminations washed away, they attained, in the same bodies they were born with, the abode so difficult to attain for materialists who are absorbed in material concerns. Vidura also returned to his abode. With his consciousness absorbed in Krishna, he, accompanied by his forefathers, quitted his physical self at Prabhasa. And so did Drupadi, who realized that her husbands did not care about her anymore. She focused her mind on Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and reached him thus. Anyone who with devotion hears about this departure for the ultimate goal of the sons of Pandu, who are so dear to the Supreme Lord, will find nothing but good fortune and purity, will gain in perfection, and attain the devotional service of the Lord.